5 to Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Billy Jaffe works at Nesson. He covers the Bruins. He also does stuff in Secaucus, New Jersey, when he does stuff for the NHL Network. He joins us on the phone. Hello, Mr. Billy Jaffe.
Hello, Mr. Fred Toucher. Tuesday morning. How are you guys?
Doing fantastic. So McAvoy, he's having a heart problem, but this is something they've known about since November. They've been monitoring him.
Mm-hmm.
So this was McAvoy's decision. He just wanted to get this taken care of.
I'm going to guess that it was the team and Charlie's decision to get it taken care of after they, and they probably looked to the All-Star break. I'm just surmising here because this caught everybody by complete surprise. Obviously, nobody saw any indication of this, not one snip of it. So, you know, you figure you have this game and then Ottawa before 4 days off before the All-Star break. And then, I mean, there's, you know, 4 games or so in the first 7, 8 days of February. Maybe they looked at it as the prime time to get him down and try and minimize what he would miss as much as possible.
All right, with this procedure, everyone's saying 2 weeks. Is that 2 weeks until he's back in the lineup playing or 2 weeks until he starts skating, as far as you know?
That's going to be my, and I think everybody's first, one of their first questions, besides making sure Charlie's okay, which they say is, but today, when we go to morning skate, is it that's what we're all curious about. Does he make it back, let's say, after there's a back-to-back game on the road, the 6th and the 7th of February, Detroit and the Rangers. Does he come back, let's say, for that Buffalo game the next one? Or does he have to just start skating and get to make another week under his belt? That we're going to find out. And you know how it works, but these situations, you know, back, as they said, 8 weeks. And he was back in 4 to 5 weeks. And they'll wait and see. And, you know, sometimes you really just don't know.
All right, Billy. So yesterday, I saw Mark Savard. He tweeted his retirement note, and obviously he's not going to be playing anymore. It's been 7 years since he has played. From your time with the team, what's the last interaction you had with Mark Savard, and how is he to you, like physically, and how was his mindset when you spoke with him?
Well, put it this way: where I knew Mark Savard the most was with you guys, in Atlanta.
Right, yeah.
That's where I spent the most amount of time and really had a nice relationship with Savvy and wonderful chats with him. And he was at his, you know, one of his, just really entering his prime. Remember with the Thrashers, he became this not a throwaway from Calgary, but they were disappointed. He comes to Atlanta and Bob Hartley there was really believed in him and he took off. And then with Boston, I didn't get here full-time, guys, until the 11, you know, after the 11-12 or the 11th Stanley Cup. I started in 11, but seeing Mark Savard some years ago, it was quick, everything. You know, he was in a tough spot, but, you know, I mean, one of the most sublime passers of his generation. It's one of those things, like, you would talk to him about how he played and what he saw, and I don't know if you could teach it to other guys. And I remember watching him play golf, too, a little side note. He could play, he's a phenomenal golfer, because he could shoot both lefty and righty. But he seems, according to people that have seen him and his interactions and his comment, that he's in a good spot right now. People that have seen him in the last few, you know, year or so say, you know, he seems to be doing very, very well.
All right. And on a completely different subject, it's good to hear that about Mark Savard. I mean, obviously, and he wrote something, I think, for the Players Tribune or it was like a long form thing recently where it did sound like he still has his struggles, but he's in a place where he can live a normal life, which obviously is what we all want. But on a completely different subject, we were just talking about Patrice Bergeron, the year he's having. I mean, statistically, it's one of the best of his career. Why do you think that he wasn't an All-Star?
He gets screwed by the All-Star format. That's what ends up happening. It's, you know, every team has to have a player. It's like baseball, right? Every team has to have one player. And the problem, you know, the NHL went to this format, Rich, that made it this exciting 3-on-3 couple of years ago. The problem with that is that you limit it to the amount, you know, every team has to, was it 8 forwards and 3 defensemen and or, you know, whatever it is, and then 1 goalie. And, you know, you could make an argument that a couple of other guys should have been there too. You know, you can easily make an argument that Bergeron should be there. But if the NHL in their selection committee, they look at Tampa, and they had picked 4 Tampa Bay Lightning players until Victor Hedman got hurt. Now, but he's a defenseman. My thought process, by the way, fellas, just to digress for a moment, is that Charlie McAvoy would have been named the replacement for Victor Hedman. I think the NHL, they may have heard about whatever's going on. Again, this is my own surmising, and they were waiting to see if Charlie had this another way before naming him, because I thought that he was the ultimate replacement. But anyways, going back to Bergeron, he should be there, but it becomes a numbers game. I don't know any other way to say it except he gets messed up by the numbers.
Billy, which All-Star format do you like? Obviously, we all in this room love the skills competition. That's pretty cool. But as far as the game itself, do you like East versus West? Wales, Campbell, whatever you want to say. Do you like U.S. versus the world? Do you like the three-on-three? Which format of this All-Star weekend do you like the best?
Where's my SAT question? E, none of the above. That's my favorite. I don't need to watch. I'll watch the three-on-three more. I had a hard time years ago watching the regular East-West, whatever. Remember a few years ago they had the draft format?
That was great.
That was the best.
I loved it. Because it was drunks in Ottawa, and they were in like this garbage television studio, and you could just hear the constant heckling.
Right. So the draft was the best part of the weekend. The game stunk.
Yeah.
But that was the best part. Who was going to be, who was going to say something, who was going to do something, and who's going to be the last guy picked? That, to me, was the most interesting. So I really do, I enjoy this three-on-three. I just find that all-star games in general, the skills competition and some of the fun stuff is really what it's all about. The game itself, I guess it treats the fans to a few, a two-and-a-half-hour infomercial for the league. I respect the business side of it enough, Wallach, but when it's all said and done, I mean, none of them draw in big time. The three-on-three is interesting because that is, it opens things up, and it usually keeps things flowing pretty good.
All right, but it doesn't draw big ratings. Everything the NHL does seems to be kind of suffering by example.
You a big Kid Rock fan there, are you, Billy Jaffe?
Bah-diddy-bah, whatever. Yes, I mean, it was an interesting choice.
It's a big name, though. As much as people crap on it, have you seen the names of the people that they've got in the past, like the NHL awards? Like, Modest Yahoo was the headliner a couple years ago. Kid Rock is somebody that actually sells tickets.
I agree. He's a known entity, right? He's a known musical entity. And you know, our world is so crazy right now that everybody jumps on everything. And I don't know. It's a good name. It is. But a lot of people love his music. A lot of people say, I don't like his music because it's not that original.
Well, no, his music's horrible. I just don't understand having a problem with him on a socio level, because what's he really doing except for selling kick-ass grills?
And not original. Are you saying that that song where he just took Sad But True by Metallica and changed the lyrics isn't original?
The Leonard Skinner ripoff that he had earlier?
Yeah. Or when he took, Werewolves of London
and just changed the lyrics?
Yeah.
I was trying to be nice, gentlemen. Trying. It's not in my DNA.
That's right. You don't want to upset the Kid Rock fans. Now, is Surratt still at your house?
Of course. Of course.
My wife, Stephanie, told me that he's cooking and cleaning for you.
He's involved, absolutely. He makes unbelievable pizza, though. Friday night pizza night. He makes great stuff. It's kind of Dave Cooley-ish and whatever his name was. We got Fuller House going here right now. It's outstanding.
Who's the Stamkos? Who's the guy who just gets all the chicks?
Stamos. John Stamkos.
Yeah, John Stamkos.
Hockey is fine.
A hockey player and an actor. That's a good question. I can tell you it's not me.
Oh, Jaffe's the Stamos.
No, it's not.
And then you got to figure that what's-his-face is the fastidious one. He's the Saget character on that show.
Oh, Surratt?
Yeah, Surratt's because does he wear an apron when he cleans?
No apron.
Okay.
That's a good idea, though. That'd be a nice birthday gift. I'll think about that.
Does he dust?
No, the queen takes care of that.
All right.
Queen Victoria.
All right, very good. All right, well, Billy Jaffe, it's always a pleasure, sir, and we'll talk to you soon.
Hey, gentlemen, have a wonderful week in Minneapolis. I guess you guys are out in Bloomington, aren't you, next week?
Yes, we're in Bloomington. Do you have any suggestions?
Have you been there?
No.
Okay. Besides warmth, obvious, people are incredibly friendly, Midwesterners through and through. Get a little vernacular down, like you bet, hey there. Hooters is big in the Mall of America. You guys have a good time out there.
All right, so you're saying go to Hooters.
Whatever. Go to the mall. You'll have a good time.
Thanks, Billy.
All right.
All right, Billy. Thank you for that insider's perspective.
You should write travel guides.
Yeah, Zagat's.
Go to Minneapolis. Go to the Mall of America.
I don't even think there is a Hooters in the Mall of America. Thank you, Billy Jaffe. I was looking at that yesterday. All right, so can we make that shirt?
The pictures are in.
How much is that going to cost?
I have no idea. But somebody has made a Robert Kraft with a hot dog shirt.
How much is that going to run us?
I don't know. Well, Nick's got a friend in the t-shirt printing industry.
There you okay. go.
Does this ever get old?
No, it doesn't.
Do you ever not like it? Having a nice hot grilled hot dog slice? You like it, right?
Somebody said, hot dog, slang for one who performs showy stunts. Sliced, as in cut. Brady's hand was cut on purpose. The power struggle within the organization is worse than even Wickersham reported.
That has to be the case. Here's the CBS Sports Minute with Boomer Esiason, brought to you by the American Red Cross.
Admit it. Toucher. It turns you on.
And Rich.
Every mother's dream.
Toucher and Rich.
I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. All right, Rich. The Oscar nominations are out.
Yeah, and surprisingly, I think you've seen. Well, I know you've seen one of them. You've seen a couple of these, actually. Best Picture. You know how they changed it a few years ago, and now it's more than five. There are nine this year, starting with Call Me by Your Name.
What's that?
Isn't that a that's a homosexual relationship movie, I think? All right.
Hot dog.
There you go. Hey, yes.
Where's the screener?
Darkest Hour. That is Gary Oldman in a lot of makeup playing. Who is he, Dan?
Oh.
Winston Churchill.
Oh.
Dunkirk, which is a movie that I've been wanting to see for a long time, and I've not gotten around to see it. I love Christopher Nolan. But for some reason, war movies, I'm burnt out on.
I got that. At Christmas, I got that from my parents' house. They have a theater room, and I never opened it.
I heard it's amazing, obviously. It's got great reviews, and I like Christopher Nolan. Get Out nominated for Best Picture. How funny is that? That is just like a straight-up like horror movie, like a horror comedy almost. And it's gotten such great reviews that on top of that, he got nominated for Best Actor, the main guy in it. I thought he was phenomenal in that, but I haven't heard a ton of people talking about his role specifically. I've seen, like, you know, like group awards, like the SAG Awards, the whole cast be nominated, but good for him. And Jordan Peele, good for him, too. I mean,
he says he's not acting anymore, Jordan Peele.
Yep, right out of the box. He ends up directing a movie that's up for Best Picture. Lady Bird, also up for Best Picture.
I saw that.
Any good?
It's fine.
Isn't it about, like, you know, teenage girls and the problems with their moms?
It's no Judy Blume book.
Are you there, Margaret? Are you there? What is it called?
Are you there? God, it's me, Margaret.
That's what it is. Phantom Thread.
Ah, of course.
That's the Paul Thomas Anderson movie. The guy directed Boogie Nights.
Oh, wow, you could not pay me to see that.
And it's Daniel Day-Lewis's last acting role. Okay, Daniel Day-Lewis is a guy that I used to think was a really good actor. Now I just think he's a gigantic ham.
He's been threatening to retire for years.
I don't care. I have a left foot.
He's like a groundhog, just pokes his head out at Oscar time. I'll make a movie. Yeah. And like him and Dame Judi Dench, Oscar bait material.
But who hasn't self-pleasured Dame Judi Dench?
You wouldn't be human if you didn't. Post.
She's like a younger Blanche.
She is sassy. The Post, that is the Steven Spielberg movie, and it's got Tom Hanks. Is no one seeing it?
No.
I thought it actually did okay.
It probably did fine. Like you said the other day, it was in fifth place.
And then two movies that I actually might double dip and see. Like this weekend, Mary and I were supposed to go somewhere, but instead, I think we're just getting babysitter that's going to show up at like 4, and I believe we're going to go out for the first time. We might double dip.
Nice. Two movies in one day?
Nice. We might do it. We haven't done that in forever. We're so behind, and we haven't seen a movie together in, like, one that wasn't a kid's movie, probably since Mad Max.
Whoa.
It's been like 2 years.
So you're going to go and you're going to sit through the movie.
See, now that there's good movie theaters, like now that I know that you can go to like a good movie theater with food and stuff, we're going to do that. We're going to double dip. I want to see The Shape of Water. That's the number one. That's the Guillermo del Toro one about the merman, and that's up for Best Picture. That's the woman who falls in love with the merman. And then Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri.
That's the one.
Which the two people in the other room have said absolutely rules, including Dan O'Brien.
I've read a bunch about that movie.
Okay, it's got the chick from Fargo in it, yeah. Frances McDormand.
Frances McDormand, but steals the show with Sam Rockwell, best supporting actor, if he doesn't win for best supporting actor in this role. Woody Harrelson is also, I don't know if he's up for it, but he's up for a SAG award. He's good. Sam Rockwell.
Rockwell swore on Saturday Night Live.
They
should eliminate him for any kind of Oscar consideration.
Mm-hmm.
The storyline is essentially in a small town. Frances McDormand, she plays a mother whose daughter was killed, and she's upset that nothing is being done about it. And she would drive down this road going into town, and there was three dilapidated billboards. So she rents them and puts up a sign on each one of them calling out the town sheriff, and everybody just goes sideways. They just, no one can handle it.
Okay.
It's funny. It's extremely violent. It's
I heard it's Goodfellas-esque in its use of swear words.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, yeah. All right. Almost setting a record for F-bombs, from what I have heard. Well, best actor, a dude from Call Me By Your Name, Daniel Day-Lewis, because he's Daniel Day-Lewis. The guy from Get Out, Daniel Kaluuya, I think is how you pronounce his name. Gary Oldman for Darkest Hour. And then Denzel Washington and Roman J. Israel Esquire, which I've only seen the commercials for, but it looks like the hammiest role ever. He's not, you're going to fall in love with Denzel Washington. He's not your average lawyer.
Oh, that's right.
He's got a funny haircut.
He's like the doctor that Robin Williams plays where he puts on the clown nose.
Patch Adams, yes.
How did he not know that was not going to go well? Yeah. I mean, how did Robin Williams read that script and just say, this is not going to go well?
Yeah, this is...
Sick kids and me with a clown nose. Everything's cool.
Uh-huh. I just run out in the audience and just jam lemons in your eyes. Lead actress, Sally Hawkins, the woman from The Shape of Water, Frances McDormand, Margot Robbie for I, Tonya. That's another one that I want to see, the Tonya Harding story. And I guess Tonya Harding was doing a bunch of press tours for this movie, and everyone kept asking her about Nancy Kerrigan, and she goes, I don't want to talk about the past. And then they said, well, we don't want to talk to you.
Well, I wonder what the future is. I'm going to Costco.
right. She quit the press tour because she didn't want to talk about the past. And everyone's like, well, what the hell are we
going
to talk about?
What do you have going on? Another disgusting porno that even I didn't want to see?
She did that?
Oh, yeah. There was a porno that came out of hers.
See, I just thought it was the Galooly guy. Is that the
Yeah, there was a tape of her and Galooly, but I think there was, I think Fred's right, I think there was a porn on top of that.
That she was involved in?
I remember.
No, it was her and Galooly. It was the porn. It was them having sex.
Oh, I thought there was another one in addition to that.
So you think someone paid her to have sex with someone?
I remember this. Yes.
All right, well, you're on top of that.
So this was like a stolen tape, like Pam and Tommy.
Oh, yeah, it was quotation stolen. Oh,
yes.
Who would watch that?
Magically, it wound up online somehow.
I didn't, and I even watched the Gene Simmons one.
Well, the Gene Simmons one, from what you told me, it was funny. He's got his shirt on the whole
Why
time,
don't you
right?
just look at it?
No. It was the one where he's playing I Want to Know What Love Is, right?
Yeah, and he's laying on his back with his T-shirt on.
Okay. He's just like, I'm just giving this. I'm fat.
I could have said he is dead, and you would have believed me. Just he had rigor mortis.
That girl from Lady Bird, I don't know how to pronounce her name, Saoirse Ronan, and Meryl Streep also up for a lead actress, a supporting actress, you said, Sam Rockwell for the Three Billboards, as well as Woody Harrelson, Willem Dafoe for the Florida Project, that's supposed to be pretty damn good, Richard Jenkins for The Shape of Water, Christopher Plummer for All the Money in the World, who was originally Kevin Spacey, but they got Christopher Plummer after all that stuff went down with Kevin Spacey sticking his hand down pants in Nantucket, and they refilmed all of his scenes within, 2 weeks? By the way, let's talk about that for a moment. So people were going nuts that to refilm all of those scenes, Michelle Williams only, she did it for free, and then Mark Wahlberg got $1.5 million. And people were saying, whoa, what's going on with he's a man, so he's making more money. And to that I say, no, he had a better agent. And now they're comparing the amount of money that both of them ended up making for the film, and they're saying that Michelle Williams made $500,000 and Mark Wahlberg made $5 million. To that I say, nobody goes to a movie because Michelle Williams is in it. As much as I don't like the guy, Mark Wahlberg is one of the biggest stars in Hollywood, and people will put butts in seats.
Made how much for the movie?
$500,000.
How much is that? Michelle Williams not taking advantage of the Dawson's Creek fame.
$500,000 for a movie's not bad.
Not for a famous actress.
No,
that's not good at all.
She's been
and they had the same agent, apparently, Mark Wahlberg and Michelle Williams.
But she's not a draw.
Michelle
Williams is a very good actress.
No, she's not a draw, and I don't have any problem with Marky Mark getting more money. He was in the Funky Bunch, after all. But, Michelle, $500,000. I mean, she's at least famous.
Wasn't she in Manchester by the Sea, too?
Yeah, she was.
Yeah.
She was. But she's not a draw. She's not somebody like Gump in Des Moines isn't going to see a movie because she's in it. But if Mark Wahlberg's in her, Mark Wahlberg is
robots. How much do you think Ludacris got for the first Fast and the Furious?
Probably about $300,000.
That's how much you make to get in a movie?
If you're Ludacris and you just want to be in a film, sure.
I don't know about that.
I there's no way he got anything. There's no way he got $500,000. Maybe in the newer ones, but originally
been about five of them now.
How many movies can you make a year?
Probably make about four if you wanted to.
How long do they take to film? Seems like a very little amount of money.
It depends on how big the movie is. Like, if it's a movie like Star Wars, it probably takes like upwards of a year to film, or half a year. But if it's a movie like this, probably a month, month and a half.
Only made $500,000. I thought everyone made $1 million.
No, no, not in this case.
Then you get on TV. I don't know why people wouldn't want to do TV. What if the people in Friends make like $20 million an episode or something ridiculous?
Yeah, well, but they were worth it. Because if they
I'm not saying anyone's not worth it.
There's a great article that, you know who Ellen Pompeo is? By
no,
any chance?
Okay. Of course not.
Well, Grey's Anatomy, obviously it's a big show. She was Grey. She was the main person in it. It's named after her. There's an article about how she negotiated for her contract and she realized that she was worth it, and she broke down all of the reasons, and they were trying to slight her money because probably she was a female and Patrick Dempsey was getting more money, but it showed how she approached it and said, I'm worth this amount of money, and how they ended up succumbing and saying, yep, you absolutely are. She had a good agent. She fought for it. She got her money because she's the reason a lot of people watch that show. Michelle Williams isn't the reason people were going to go see this movie.
I don't care if Michelle Williams made no money. I was just fascinated that she made $500,000. Listen, if the chick who played Phoebe can make as much as the Ross on Friends, I don't see that there's an issue with the sexes. I mean, if you're throwing Phoebe, who is really just an ancillary character, and you're putting her with the power four?
Well, they were smart. They all bonded together.
Well,
and said,
that's not smart.
All this or none of
this. No, if I'm Chandler, I'm going, it's all me, baby. If I'm Chandler, I'm saying I'm the voice of reason.
Okay.
Yeah, if I'm Chandler, I'm saying throw me the money. No, they weren't smart at all. That's Chandler's show. That's on TV now just every day. On TBS.
Friends?
Yeah, Friends.
Yeah.
It's two-hour blocks.
Is it 4 hours
it's
now?
It's insufferable, that show. It's unwatchable.
Does not hold up.
No, it didn't hold. It was never good. The character Phoebe is one of the worst characters in television history. Anything quirky sucks.
Ted Mosby is the worst character in TV history.
Not as bad. At least they drink.
Okay.
Right. Like, have you noticed on Friends, like, there's like two episodes where they drink and they someone brings a bottle of wine
and it turns them into demons?
And they just like are so wasted, the five of them drinking out of a bottle of wine, one bottle of wine. You could have given me a bottle of wine when I was 8. And split it between 5 people, and I would have been fine. These are the holes in the plots that I see when I see Friends.
Got it.
Because sometimes you're trapped, and there's nothing on it. I go, do I want to go Goldbergs again?
Yeah.
By the way, if you haven't seen the Goldbergs for 2 weeks ago, hang on to your hat. Very good. Did your parents take the bread and the sugar off the table and steal it?
Yeah.
At restaurants?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
They would take like a thing of bread and dump it into the purse?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that happened.
Stephanie's grandma.
Not sugar, but bread, yes.
Oh, no, Stephanie's grandma cleaned everything out.
They would steal the bread off the table?
Yeah.
Take it home.
It's not stealing, but they would take the bread and they would put it
in the
purse.
No, they didn't like randomly go to other tables and take the bread, but the bread was there on the table. You took it home.
Oh, and they brought it home.
And there was never a time that I was out with her grandmother where she didn't send something back. Like a tuna sandwich she'd send back. It's too toasted. Like, you know, and she would take the condiment. She would take the sugars and she would dump them in, to which I don't understand how that saves you any kind of money.
Yeah, the sugar, like poured sugar packets, right?
Sugar packets. Yeah, she just poured sugar in her bag.
Okay.
No, but she would pour the buns into the bag, the rolls, and then she would ask for more rolls and then she would pour them back in. So she would get two like buckets of rolls. And then tip, 5% before tax when she was doing that. All right. We have the stack coming up. Rich, what will we discuss?
Well, you heard about the Oscar nominees. What about the Razzies?
Oh, yeah.
Bill Cosby's back. Be aware. And the Colts keep begging for Josh McDaniels. Hey, come over here. Make a commitment. Something, anything.
No, well, he's got to have committed by now.
No, he's gone.
Yeah.
He's gone.
All right. Not officially.
Here are the headlines.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5 the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what else is going on?
We've seen the trailer for that ESPN 30 for 30 that's coming out, the two Bills, about Bill Parcells and Bill Belichick and their relationship. Now, a premiere date has been announced. It's going to be Thursday, February 1st, so the Thursday next week before the Super Bowl at 9 p.m. That is obviously going to be an interesting one to watch. I'm wondering, however, when this new Tom versus Time Facebook thing is going to come out. Do you know how much money it probably costs to run a commercial during the AFC Championship?
Sure.
I mean, you saw the ratings. I think it was the most watched AFC Championship of all time, like nationally.
No, it was less than last year.
No. Locally, it was less than last year. Nationally, it was everywhere. I think it was the biggest.
I literally just read it.
The AFC Championship nationally?
Yes.
See, I thought I'd read differently.
I literally just read
it. Okay. Highest-ranked TV show since the Super Bowl of last year.
No, it says yesterday's Jaguar-Patriots game generated 27.3 rating. Steelers-Patriots in that time slot a year ago generated 27.6.
Oh, okay. All right. I don't know if what I read included tablets or whatever, but I thought I'd saw that yesterday. But either way, that's massive. That is a gigantic number for the AFC Championship. So for you to sink that kind of money into it, obviously they're not messing around.
Well, it's Facebook. It's not even about the Brady thing. It's Facebook showing that they're creating this original programming and they're trying to get into the, you know, get into people using that as a video platform.
But it does also mean they're taking this seriously and they want a big rollout. And you'd have to think if that's the case, they are strategically picking when this thing is going to debut. If it's going to be a 6-part series like they're saying it is.
Oh, boy.
I guarantee. Well, I think it's like 6 parts, but like 12 minutes each.
That's still a lot.
It is. But you would think that they would want to roll out at least a couple of the episodes before the actual Super Bowl so they can get the most bang for their buck.
Do you see how intensely Guerrero was rubbing down Brady's legs in that thing?
I did not. In the trailer. Oh,
yeah,
no,
in the trailer. He's giving him what for?
I guess that Scott Zolak said that he saw Deepak Chopra's son, the guy who's the documentarian, on the sidelines of the AFC Championship. So this might be one of the final episodes about how he cuts his hand, and of course he ends up going off.
And then they have anti-cut powder that you can put on the cut, and then everything is great. Yeah,
By Thursday, I bet it comes out. The first episode comes out by Thursday.
Well,
before the weekend starts.
I'm waiting with bated breath. I want to see.
Oh, you know it's going to rule.
Oh, it's going to be great because it's going to be so incredibly corny.
It's going to be corny and weird.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it from a radio perspective.
Oh, absolutely.
But maybe someone else watches this and takes out the best parts.
That will be me.
Yeah.
And I will be that guy.
Because
and then around 7:40 the next morning, you will hear it for the first time.
Absolutely. And then I will make my comments based on what I hear.
Well, you hear about all of these. You know, this is the time of year where you've got these different athletes and coaches tying in with different companies in order to get some sort of publicity for the Super Bowl. Well, Devin Hester has signed in with signed up with Pizza Hut, and there is a new promotion that they're doing. If somebody at the Super Bowl scores a touchdown in less than 14 seconds, that is the record that was held by, remember in 2007, Devin Hester got the kickoff, ran it back for a touchdown. That is the fastest touchdown in Super Bowl history. If someone in the first 14 seconds scores in the opening kickoff, then apparently everyone in America who signs up for this thing at Pizza Hut gets a pizza. It's a free pizza.
Little pizzas
on top of pizzas. The pepperonis are like mini pizzas.
So what you do is you give a company, a corporation, all your information and suffer through a lifetime of garbage at their hands for something you have basically no chance of getting.
Emails every day.
You know what I wouldn't do for... If they said, come to Pizza Hut and get a free pizza just by giving us this information, I tell them no. Because I want that. Then you give them that information. Then you're on a list that says you're stupid enough to do it.
Well, there's that one place that gave away free tacos, but you had to go on like a random Tuesday between 3 and 3:45 in the afternoon.
At least you didn't have to give them your information, because by giving them your information, you're telling them that you're a stooge and that you're an idiot. And then so what they do is they take that information and sell it to everyone else. And then you're on a list like prime idiot. It's like when Sylvester the cat would look at Tweety Bird and she would turn into a chicken leg.
I've signed up for a bunch of things like that. Maybe it's for people already signed up.
Well, you also don't read your emails. You have 10,000 unread emails.
Well, there's some that aren't worth reading.
Yeah, well, see, I don't want to go through that process.
Well, you know, listen, if you're going to give away pizza, that's one thing. But if they're giving away
pasta,
then I'm in. Yes. I am in 1,000%.
Well, your parents are buying it for you if you're that guy.
So the Colts have asked for a second interview with Josh McDaniels, and the meeting, which has to take place before next Monday, is probably more than likely just going to be a planning session for hitting the ground running, which they can, when they officially can hire him, which is of course after the Super Bowl. So once again, not official, but for some reason they have to actually officially ask the Patriots for a second interview to get Josh McDaniels. Well, there
Patricia's already making personnel decisions, So Patricia's gone.
Mm-hmm. He is absolutely gone. And remember, he said on the field, thank you, Tom, for getting me the Detroit job.
Maybe he's saying because Tom is such a good quarterback that it raised his ranking. Or maybe Tom Brady reached out to Dan Quinn, who was completely... Dan Quinn reached out to Quinn, who was completely unaware of Matt Patricia from all his time with the Patriots. But listen, Patricia is very excited. He gets to go to Detroit, Michigan.
Fred, you know what a Razzie is?
I do. It's for films that don't make the grade.
Mm-hmm. It means this. That's a raspberry. The Golden Raspberry Awards, which every year comes out the same time that the Oscars do, for the worst films and the worst actors and actresses and all those different categories. This year's worst picture nominees, Baywatch, which didn't do very well at the box office despite having The Rock in it. You got to really be a bad movie. If you got The Rock in it, you don't do well.
I don't know why they... There's movies coming out that are about... Like, what's the game with the gorilla that would hit the
Rampage.
Building? Yeah, so there's like a Rampage movie coming out.
And it'll be big, because that's The Rock.
Just like Baywatch.
Baywatch is different. Baywatch you can't bring your kids to.
Well, I don't know. I don't know why people think that just because you put the name on it. Now, Rampage is that supposed to hit the back of your brain like I played Rampage when I was a kid?
No, but you see the trailer and you see giant werewolf flying werewolves versus giant monkeys and The Rock trying to take them all down.
I can't understand going to that movie. In a million years, I couldn't understand going to that movie.
All I know is that my two kids were watching the game the other day and that commercial came on. They went, awesome. Yeah. That's why. It's for dads to bring their kids.
I just have no idea why you would pay money to sit in a dark room and look at that. So I'd rather sit there and stare at a blank wall than sit there and watch that garbage.
What about the Emoji Movie? That's also up for Worst Picture.
Huh.
50 Shades Darker.
Wait, the Transformer movie has to be in there somewhere.
Transformers The Last Knight, that is also on there. I saw people watching that on the plane. I swear to you, probably a quarter of the people on the plane I was on recently were watching the new Transformers movie. And I'm like, boy, I can't understand who would take time to watch that movie.
That was Wahlberg, right?
Yeah, Wahlberg and like Anthony Hopkins getting a paycheck and Knights and Robots.
That's the one where he says, I'm with you, Prime, right? Something like that?
I will give up on you, Prime!
There it is.
The Mummy, that is the movie that was supposed to kick off some huge dark universe for Universal Studios with Tom Cruise and did horribly at the box office. Those are your nominees for Worst Picture. Worst Actress, Katherine Heigl for Unforgettable. Blah, blah, let's see. Jennifer Lawrence for Mother. I heard Mother's supposed to be really good, actually. You either love or hate that movie. Worst Actor, Johnny Depp for Pirates of the Caribbean. Those movies suck. Tom Cruise for The Mummy. Zac Efron for Baywatch. And Mark Wahlberg, double trouble for Daddy's Home 2 and Transformers.
Daddy's Home 2 in the theater.
How was that? Suck. I saw that one,
too. It was great, John. It was so good. It was cold, and the kids had nothing to do.
Yeah.
So we took them there, and it was a theater you could drink at.
Suck. That was a bad, bad movie.
It was so good. The bitchy daughter turned the heat up real high at night.
Yeah.
That was a whole power struggle.
Mel Gibson, John Lithgow, talking about earning paychecks.
You know who's the worst is John Lithgow. I can't stand him. Third Rock from the Sun is just makes you wish you weren't human.
It's like being locked into drama club and you can't escape.
Yep.
Get me out of here.
Surprisingly, French Stewart not doing much now. All right, we will be right back. Find out what Zoe and Bertrand have on the way.
Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich.
Real quick, this is something interesting that I didn't even think about. Yesterday we were talking about the price of tickets to the Super Bowl. If for some reason you were going to head there, and I went on one of the sites that sells them, and you remember how the lowest ticket price yesterday was $5,000, and we predicted that the price was going to drop. In one day, they're saying that all of these Vikings fans who lived in town, they had bought like a ton of the tickets, and now they're trying to sell them off. The price has dropped for the cheapest ticket by $1,500. So the cheapest price is now $3,400. Still expensive as hell, but $3,400 now in order to sit in the end zone upper level is what they're at now. Just sit, wait. It's going to go down even more.
Like, if you're a Patriots fan, what's really the incentive to go anymore? And if you've already been.
If you've already been, but if you think it's the last one, if you think is it.
What just happened?
He put down honey.
What just happened?
Well, first of all, he's got to have honey because he's got the throat loose because he's got the big call coming up.
I understand, but he was here. He put his stuff down.
Yeah.
and then he left.
Yeah.
His show
and he just
starts
started mumbling Brady.
His show starts in 3 minutes.
No, but seriously, like, I know a lot of people that will show up, and because a lot of people, like, entertain for work.
Yeah.
So I have friends whose only job I can figure is to entertain for work. But they'll go out for, you know, they'll go in on Friday and come back Sunday after the game, and which I guess is actually kind of fun because everyone's been hammered the whole day.
Oh, see, that'd be great. That'd be the way to do it. You get to go to all the parties and stuff and, you know, have a good time that weekend.
Yeah. So, but I don't know what the incentive would be this year to go. I have a feeling it's going to be 70% Eagles fans at that game.
It sure feels like it.
I shaved. I got some coming up today that I'm endorsing that I got to get. I couldn't have a beard. Yeah.
Why are you laughing?
Because it's not good looking.
Endorsing the razor.
What's that?
I'm like, wow. Okay. Did you guys hear Walt's headline?
No.
Liggett Blunt?
Did I say Liggett Blunt?
Leggett.
Leggett. For Super Bowl 52 and for Liggett Blunt, it's a chance to face the team that let him go.
It's Liggett.
Yeah, I don't listen to those.
French for the okay.
I don't listen to the headlines. I already got the information right up here.
Yeah,
that's right.
In the Abdullah Mandula. Yeah. All right, so Scott, what is the incentive for a Patriots fan to go? In Minneapolis, very cold. You've been to the Super Bowls. You've been to several Super Bowls if you're a fan.
Extended forecast is a high of zero on game day. And it'll be, when the game's over, it'll be negative.
There you have it.
Get out of there.
There you go. What do you care? You're inside. You're living in the lap of luxury.
Sure. We'll shuttle around fine.
Yeah, what time do you get to the game?
6:30
kickoff.
I'll be there 11 o'clock.
All right,
there's other things to do.
So you sit there for 7.5 hours?
You know what? I won't, actually. No, because I missed that. I missed my pregame hit on Channel 4 last year because Bill wanted to do the interview before we left. So I'll go with the team whenever they... 2 o'clock?
All right, now, are you staying at a resort here in Minneapolis?
No. Don't know yet. We have no clue yet.
Okay.
And what night are you free to go out for a steak? We're gonna do the
steak and eggs every night.
We gonna do that?
We gotta go eat.
Okay.
You're not doing this last year.
You were doing something else last year.
No, you got Scott's got too much to do. Scott's
he went out
got
with us in Phoenix.
Bar.
In Phoenix, we had
a nice time.
Drinks. Yeah, we had a good time.
All right.
But that was easy because like the barefoot thing was right there.
Yeah. We came to you.
Bar.
Yeah, we came to you.
Yeah. You guys are out by the airport. Have you been told where you're staying yet?
No. And I don't think we will be until Rad's. Again, this is Chinese arithmetic.
Well, Jim Loth got his.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
He knows where he's staying? Did he find out today?
He sure does. Yesterday.
Well, that's interesting.
Bertrand, everybody knows. That's interesting. They haven't told you guys, huh?
No.
Hmm.
Maybe they feel that there'll be an upheaval. There'll be an uprising.
What's that?
I don't know.
It's easy to book crap hotels. They have to work extra hard to get the good ones. That's why it's taking a little bit.
I told you there's a lot of crap hotels.
Really?
Yeah.
How bad?
That's pretty bad.
Oh, we're going to be fine.
I'm talking about who they already know.
Here's what it is. You Google 3-star hotels here. They're 5-star hotels there.
Yeah, I saw that. They're 4-star hotels there.
It's the ones that's the chains with the continental breakfast or the 5-stars.
I honestly don't care what the hotel is.
Right,
I just want to be next to where we broadcast.
Oh, yeah. Location.
Yep.
Unless it's dirty. Unless it's like a nice inn.
Both teams are staying at the mall. I mean...
Really?
North and south, yes.
They're right near us.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Oh, the teams are at the mall.
Okay, because that's where they're doing
Patriots,
all their press.
Patriots will be staying north. Minnesota will be staying south.
Okay.
I guess there's a monorail in this thing.
There is.
Yeah.
It's big.
Yeah.
It's big, but all of the media responsibility is going to be there. The only thing off-site will be Monday night. It'll be in St. Paul at the hockey arena.
Right.
That's your media night. Which the Patriots are first, which is great.
Yeah, 7 o'clock. Nice. 7 o'clock, get it out.
Get
them done.
Get them done. All right, so what do you got going today, Mr.
Dave Shaughnessy will be in from 11 to 1, and he could take his victory lap about the tomato can there.
All right, well, he can't really. Jacksonville played a little bit better than that.
Dan was the first to book his ticket. What was it? I think a week or two after the last Super Bowl. He already said they're going. He already booked Minnesota. He showed us his plane ticket and everything.
He booked it a year in advance?
He was going to go anyway. Even if they don't go to the Super Bowl, doesn't he go?
Yeah, it's the same shtick every year.
Yeah, he was going
to
go anyway.
You can't book a flight to Minneapolis a year in advance.
He did it. I swear to God, he showed us the ticket stub and everything.
All right, well, then he's the guy. He's the one guy.
Extra leg room.
They don't know the flight schedule for a year in advance.
Scott, try booking a ticket right now for February of 2019.
Lucky I can book one 2 weeks in advance.
Our flights are fine. I'm very interested in what Laos Hotel situation is. Maybe they didn't tell us because they're saving it.
Maybe it's best a big surprise.
They got a Great Wolf Lodge there. It's a place I can, you know, yeah, have a little family fun.
Great Wolf Lodge is essentially the Mall of America. All right, everyone, enjoy yourselves.
By the way, forgot to tell you guys this.
Mm-hmm.
Since you shaved here during our little setup before the game, one of the fans was screaming up at the booth looking for me because Tom Morgan was telling me I wasn't there yet when the gates opened. And the same fans start going nuts when Dan Fouts came in because he thought Dan Fouts was Fred Tutcher.
Oh, really?
Nice. Freddie
T. Yeah, look at that.
They said Fouts looking like, who the hell is this guy?
Yeah, and Fouts is about 40 years older than me, too, which is crazy.
Jesus.
It's a really good thing. Well, listen, at one point he was a professional athlete.
Fred, I just got a text from the man. And he said, we are at a place that is 0.01 miles from the Mall of America, and it's a nice chain.
Okay. Beautiful.
I told you not to worry.
Beautiful. I didn't worry about anything. Right. Be honest. Have I mentioned the accommodations off air at any point?
No, you've not.
Fred has not.
You have not.
Fred, there have been times where you have curious about where it was going to be.
Have I bitched or said anything off air, like even inquiring about it a lot?
No.
The only reason I brought it up here is because Scott brought it up. I don't have a problem going to Minneapolis. I don't.
And I've been saying that, don't worry, they're going to get this.
I'm not
they
worried. I was never worried.
Nope.
That's unfair. Now, Phoenix was a effing nightmare.
Yes, it
and
was.
Everything about that I hated.
Yes, it was. Except for Alice Cooper.
Yeah, Cooperstown was all right.
It was great. But after, getting 1 hour's sleep and going on the air at 4. Yeah, the Cooperstown was a real joy. I got to eat like generic garbage. All right. Everyone have a great day. But I have not bitched about this once.
No, you have not.
All right. That'll do it for us. Everyone have a great day. Bye.